Hello, this is Richard Alaban on webtalkradio.net. Paranormal things are normal, but remember that in films and television, it's very nearly all make-believe. This week is about past life therapy, where hypnosis is used to regress a person in order to find out if there have been problems or trauma in the previous life, which are producing similar physical or mental problems in this life. My guest is Elizabeth Hill, who is a registered past life therapist. She uses the past life technique as well as a range of other psychological techniques. Although I was unaware of it before I interviewed her, she found that she had psychic abilities when she was a child. She associated these experiences with spirits, which for many years she tried to ignore. But nowadays, her spirit guides are something to be encouraged, and she even teaches others to use them. So let's welcome Elizabeth Hill.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, Richard.
Well, now, today I wanted to talk about past life regression, and I wonder if you could perhaps give me an outline of what it's all about.
Yes, sure. Well, past life regression really tends to be about going back into your subconscious to bring out memories that have been stored there. I see it really like a filing cabinet where all your previous lives' memories are stored. And ordinarily, you don't need to bring them out. They have no relevance to this life. But occasionally, you decide that you want to work on something in this life, and it's helpful to go back and maybe find the cause of why you feel discomfort about certain situations in your life or what's stopping you from moving forward. And so that's where past life regression can help to retrieve the memories.
And of course it's used in therapy, yes, it's past life therapy that you use to help other people with various problems.
Yes, you can. For instance, I had one client who was very afraid of public speaking in this life, and also very afraid of being seen as different for her views. And when we went back into her past lives through hypnosis and looked at where these beliefs came from, it was found that she'd been quite outspoken in a previous life. And she was actually killed for her beliefs. So, of course, this fear of speaking out or being different had carried on into this life, but she couldn't, you know, consciously remember what the fear had been.
Yeah, that's all very fascinating. And I believe you had a bad time in your own life and managed to pull things round. And now, in fact, you do. Well, you used to have asthma, and now you're fit and well, and you even do public speaking and you're a radio presenter.
Yes, that's right. I left an abusive marriage, and I think that was probably the cause of the asthma, not being able to speak out and say what I really felt. And when I left the marriage 8 years ago, I was determined that I was going to build a successful life for myself and my children. After all, I'd taken them away from a home which wasn't happy, but it was we were financially secure, into a you know, environment where we had absolutely no money. So I began to become interested in how I could use my mind to sort of gain my confidence again, and how I could use it to not only gain confidence but to become successful in whatever I wanted to do. I had become interested in the conscious mind when I did a PhD, research for a PhD, where I looked at the role of consciousness in quantum mechanics and realised what a big part our conscious and our subconscious play in the forming the world around us.
Yes. Well, I'm interested in that. One of the things which, looking on your website, which I'm doing, you say you you developed a relationship with spirit guides. Now, that's something which I've always been a little sceptical about, and I've always regarded it as something to do with spiritualism. The spiritualists, they seem to rely on, or they use spirit guides, and you use them to help with your own intuition, sort things out for yourself. And in fact, you can teach people how to and use their own spirit guides. I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about spirit guides and how you teach people to find them and use them.
Yes. It's been quite a rocky road with my spirit guides, and I, like I say, I was quite a scientific person at one time, and wouldn't have really had much to do with them. Apart from the fact that when I was younger, I would be able to pick up things that were going to happen. Unfortunately, I picked up the fact that my father was going to die. Not specifically that, but I knew I had to get home. And within one day, within a certain amount of time, I got home and realised that, you know, he was dying at the time. And then I refused to have anything to do with anything psychic. I thought, I'd misunderstood. I should have been able to save him. That was when I was a child, so it was obviously quite traumatic. But recently, as the years have gone on and I've started to, you know things that were going to happen again, I realised that it was perhaps that I was just supposed to say goodbye to him, and not specifically that that I should have been able to do anything about it. So I did have a reluctance to ever sort of go into that area again. But I found recently that the more I listen to things, the more I'm able to tune into my intuition, and recently have felt them actually physically coming nearer and telling me things about other people, which I couldn't possibly have known without, you know, some sort of psychic guidance. So now what I do is I have a step-by-step program that shows people how I got back from being very out of tune with them into being in tune with them, and allowing them to sort of guide me in big, say, major decisions, or even sometimes the smaller ones in life.
Yeah.
But that is basically what I do, is I help people learn to trust their intuition. And if their intuition says there are no spirit guides, well, you know, that's good that they're trusting it. Do you know what I mean? It's not I will sit here and demand that you have the same point of view as me. I'm saying what I can do is help you to trust yourself, because I've been at a point where I couldn't trust myself, and now I'm at a point where I absolutely trust myself. Well, not absolutely, obviously, that you still get things wrong, but, you know, I'm pretty good at trusting things, because, you know, things are coming to pass that I thought would pass.
Good, Elizabeth. Now, at this point, I want to make some comments on what you've said. When talking about spirit guides, you said it started when you were a child, and you would pick up almost anything that was going to happen from your spirit guides. Some would call it precognition, some the cosmos, but I'm sure the right word is telepathy. A surprising number of my guests have told me that early in life they could pick up things from other people when there was no reasonable explanation. Elizabeth used the word spirit guides, and a lady broadcaster who interviewed me about the paranormal used the word cosmos. But these experiences are all the same, and surely the correct word must be telepathy. It's because we don't understand what's happening at the time that we use the wrong word. Now, I asked Elizabeth about her spirit guides only because I saw it on her website and wanted to know what she meant and how the spirit guides had helped her. I was quite amazed at her reply, as I'd no idea that she had had telepathic experiences at all. She told me She knew when her father was dying and that the spirits had told her to go home for some reason. She'd had these experiences for some years as a child, but then later switched off from listening to her spirit guides. So what can I say about all this? Only one thing. The paranormal is perfectly normal, and there really has to be an answer. If you follow the evidence, which I've done over the years, then the answer is clear. Our brains are just complicated computers, and each one has a website which is shared with all the other computers. This analogy is correct in many ways, and it gives an idea as to how and why telepathy works, as well as how and why our brains have an operating system which controls all bodily functions, instinct, and much else besides. Our DNA is there to ensure that we only download information from our family, our tribe, and our species. But this very different way of looking at life does answer many impossible questions. Have a look at my website, www.sublimity.org.uk, if you'd like to learn more. Telepathy certainly is a fact of life. So I'd like to ask you, Elizabeth, do we all have spirit guides? Or, to use another word, do we all have telepathy?
I think most people will have them at some point. I just think they're not trained to listen to them, and so they miss it. It goes by too quickly for them. It's once you slow down and you actually start really developing a relationship with them that their influence can become more and more apparent to you.
Yes, and you view it as spirit guides which tell you what is going on, you know, in the world.
Yeah. Yes, I do, yeah.
That's a different way of looking at these things. So, of course, this business of, get the right words, past life regression and past life therapy, it's sort of viewed as reincarnation. I mean, the reincarnation is part of some religious beliefs, but it also, you know, it's out in the wider world, as it were. A lot of people do believe to a certain extent in reincarnation, and past lives do affect us in the present life.
Yes, I think that's true. Most of the major religions have believed in past lives at some point, including Christianity. It was a political ideology that sort of removed it from Christianity as a whole. I think it was back in the 13th century, but I'm not entirely sure which century it was in.
I think it was 500 and something. That the you know, it was quite early in the history of Christianity that they banished reincarnation as a belief.
I think it's as well it came up later, but I can't remember exactly who it was, which emperor. Roman emperor decided that it was to be, you know, banished completely. So, yeah, I think we do have a growing interest in it today because of the more well-known documented cases of people who have undergone past life regression. There's someone who called Jenny Cockrell, who has spontaneous memories of being an Irish woman who died at a young age and set out in this lifetime to find her children from a previous life, some of whom are prepared to believe that she was actually their mother previously. And, of course, there's people like Dr. Brian Weiss, who, you know, was an academic who came out and said, well, these experiences have been happening to my clients. You know, what are we to make of them? And it's sort of the interest has come about. But I think on the whole, we're not meant to really bring our past life memories into this life for two reasons. One, if we did, we may well be upset by the trauma that we'd caused others, possibly, you know, from our previous actions, or they'd caused us. And two, if we knew what we wanted to work on in this life, then it would be much easier. The challenge wouldn't be there to overcome certain issues.
Yes, I think we've evolved to not hear, or not to know about all these past lives and all the things associated, just because there would be too much of it. Brains would become overloaded, as it were. But I tend to view these things as the fact that we are all basically one. We are all interconnected, and we grow by reference to information which is obtained from all the members of the human race. And this system of growth and so on, which gives us instinct and a lot of the information in our brain, it gives us information from other people and past lives of other people. And I rather think it's that which is tapped into by past life regression. So I view it all as an adjunct to the very complicated system we have, which I view as telepathy. It's a very big part in everybody's life, but we don't know about it, and it's all repressed. I think this is the case. Yeah,
there are instances of people having an unusual talent in this life that is seen as possibly coming from a previous lifetime. For instance, I had someone, not a client, I met her, she was the first person to practice Tibetan medicine. And I asked her why, she was the first one. And she said because Tibetan medicine the instructions had never been translated into English before. It was all in Tibetan. So I said, oh, how did you possibly learn Tibetan? And she said, oh, I picked it up when I was at a Buddhist monastery. It's fairly easy to pick up. And I thought, I bet most people that were there wouldn't pick it up. I think what she was doing was having a past life memory of something that she'd done before. And, you know, she could find fairly easy to pick back up again.
Now, coming back to your own system and your own way in which you helped yourself, which you now teach other people to do, is detailed quite a bit on your website. You say the methods that you adopted for yourself, you can now teach to other people. And I wonder a little bit about those methods.
Yeah, sure. Like I say, my interest is in the conscious and subconscious mind. And I think basically we have very little understanding of how powerful our thoughts are in life. And it's harnessing those thoughts and being able to see things, one, from a different perspective. We can see our lives as a whole. My overall personal view in past life regression is that if we believe in reincarnation, we have a very positive way of looking at the world. We begin to understand that we don't just have one chance in life, and if we fail to achieve everything we desire, then tough luck. Instead, we can see ourselves in the context of evolving over many lifetimes, making mistakes, learning from them, until we learn the lesson that we set out to. And we also begin to see our fellow humans in a very different light. And we can begin to feel gratitude to those that come to help us learn the lessons that we set out to learn. And this is quite important for many of my clients who come, who've maybe, you know, been abused by people, that instead of seeing themselves now as a victim, they can turn their thoughts around to actually feeling some sort of, maybe not gratitude, but acceptance that somebody came to do something to them to enable them to move on, to evolve and grow, to overcome obstacles. And once people begin to see this, they begin to get more confidence in themselves. I don't know if you know, but abused women will often go, come out of one abusive relationship and they will go into another one because they feel safe in it. And what I help people to do is look at their thoughts and their underlying beliefs about the world and the way, you know, that they live, and see that there are so many more things that they could be doing in life. So basically, we're looking at their thought structure and turning it around to a more positive place. That's you know, to help people understand how far more powerful they ever thought they were. And once they do that, they begin to trust themselves more. And this is where they can start listening to their inner voice. Or, I mean, you don't even have to look at it as spirit guides. You can look at it as an inner voice and, like you say, tap into some sort of consciousness, that they begin to know things about themselves or make split-second judgments on things that they may not have had the confidence to do at one point. And all this sort of starts to give them a story to work with, which is a very different story to the one they might have come to me with.
So this is just a sort of personal therapy system which you've worked out for yourself and help other people with.
Yes, I made a conscious decision the minute I left that I would build I would become a lot more than the person that I was when I left that marriage. So I've tracked it all the way through, and I've sort of documented how I've got my confidence. You know, certain things worked, certain things didn't, and I've done it by trial and error. But because I documented it, I can now go back and, you know, see where people may have a problem and suggest different alternatives to you know, get out of that mindset. Because once you're in a different mindset, you're treated differently too, and so it's self-perpetuating.
Is this sort of advice and so on given under hypnosis, as it were? You obviously use hypnosis in your past life therapy. Do you think the hypnosis in that area is part of the advice that you give to people, which helps them along?
What I tend to do is use it in the context of coaching people. Sometimes people come to me and they do have a definite, you know, they know themselves, they have a past life issue. So what we do is we start with the hypnosis, going back into the past life. And then when we come out and they look at that life in the context of what their beliefs are at the minute and how that life can be seen, like I say, in this overall positive viewpoint that we're here to learn. And each time we have a lifetime, we have certain lessons that we learn. Then we move on to looking at this lifetime, how that past life can actually, if you know, benefit this lifetime. Whatever happened in that lifetime, you know, will have some value in this lifetime.
Interestingly enough,
often there is advice given by their previous life, self, to someone in this life, and it will often be nothing very earth-shattering in that point, but often the point is made that, you know, you must find the courage to do the things that you want to do because life is short, and learn to live without fear.
Thank you very much for all that. We've covered quite a lot of ground. And now your website, Coach You to Spirit, that's the title. It's www.coachyoutospirit.com.
Yes, it is.
So people might like to have a look at that.
Yes, yes. And I also have a blog, which is at www.elizabethhill.net.
Oh, yes.
They're just general coaching articles.
Yes, I see. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Elizabeth. And thank you very much for telling me all about how you make use of past life therapy. Thank you again. Okay.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The thought I had after that conversation was that a person makes a much better therapist if she has had her own troubles and illness in the past, which I'm sure was the case with Elizabeth. And in addition to that, Liz told us that she has been psychic since a child, even though through her middle years she deliberately ignored her spirit guides, but she found them again later. Personally, I found all this very surprising, as I had picked her out from the list of past life therapists almost at random, just going by her very short description of her work. Her website only mentions that she uses her intuition and spirit guides, with no mention of a special psychic ability. In our conversation, she uses the word precognition to describe her experiences of learning the intention of someone else, which subsequently were acted out. These were definitely precognition if one takes the definition as foreknowledge, but parapsychologists and others often take precognition to mean seeing into the future, which is quite impossible. It's so much better to use the word telepathy, as time does not move forwards or even backwards to past lives. I personally have no belief in reincarnation, as we are all made from the world wide web of humans, in the same way that a sheep is made by the information on the sheep world wide web. The flow of instinctive information into a human brain via that telepathic channel certainly will carry experience and thoughts from other people, and similarly from people several generations back, which looks like past lives. And certainly that experience may be bad or traumatic, which might well cause phobias or worry. And there are things that are picked up by regression. That's regression into a person's subconscious, not, I suggest, into a past life. This idea does give credence to reincarnation, which has been believed for thousands of years, as well as giving credence to past life regression and therapy. In no way does this condemn past life therapy, but offers a possible explanation where there was none before. To me, it seems clear that all the software in our brain is downloaded before we are born. We are pre-programmed with an operating system and a large store of instinctive knowledge, as well as what is called a psyche and personality. And it's all down to telepathy, or mind-to-mind, which dominates everything to do with brain and mind, although the door has to be kept severely shut when it comes to the possibility of thoughts going from mind to mind. A tightly shut door is the normal situation, but sometimes something leaks round the edges when there is emotion or a common thought pattern, and this is what is usually called telepathy. And for some people, it is quite normal, even though most of us regard it as impossible and paranormal. Of course, scientists regard the paranormal as impossible, so they never look at the natural evidence and regard any scientifically produced evidence as fraudulent. It's a hopeless situation, made worse by vociferous sceptics. But perhaps I've said enough. My thanks to Elizabeth Hill for being so frank and so interesting. Remember, the paranormal is either fake or it's normal. This is Richard Alabone. Join me again on webtalkradio.net. Bye for now.